Well, it's a wonderful privilege to be with you for this conference. My first time here in Maryland and at this assembly, so a very great privilege to be here with you. And also to be with my brother Dave. I do respect Dave greatly. I feel that he's one of the key thinkers that we have in our assembly today, has a good grasp on what's going on in the wider evangelical world as well as amongst us in assembly fellowship. But I'd like you to turn with me, please, to the book of Revelation and chapter 5. And my topic, is going to be prophecy and the world. Dave is going to deal with prophecy and the church. I'm going to do prophecy and the world. And the three sessions that I have, what I plan to do is in the first session, deal with what's known as the first half of the tribulation period. After the church is removed from the earth by the rapture, there will be a period of 7 years. And that 7 year period, quite clearly, the Bible divides into two halves of 3.5 years. And that first 3.5 year period is known as the beginning of sorrows by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to look at that in our first session. What will be the first half of the tribulation like for people in the world? And then we will deal with, in our second session this evening, the thorny question of this: how will anybody ever get saved in the tribulation period? And we'll think about, will there be people saved? And how will it happen? And what will the consequences be? Because when we get to the end of our study in chapter 6 today, it'll end with a question: who will be able to stand? And the idea is this: if things are that bad, how would anybody ever survive this to go into the millennial kingdom? And we'll learn how people will survive, how they will come through it, and they will go into that millennial kingdom. And then in our final session tomorrow, we want to look at what the Lord Jesus calls the tribulation, the great one. And he speaks about that last half, that 3.5 year period, and he says this about it. He says, there's never been a period in world history, nor ever shall be, that you could even compare with that last half of the tribulation period. And I think that's going to be quite staggering to think about, because I don't know about you, but I love history. It's an incurable disease with me. I am fascinated by history, and I particularly am interested in the Second World War, and particularly the Holocaust. Not from any grim reason, but I just am fascinated to see how that could ever happen among so-called civilized people. And I like reading about it and finding out as much as I can about it. And as I read about the Holocaust, it is hard for me to imagine how anything could be worse than that. But the Lord Jesus said it's going to be much worse than that. So we want to look at those things together with the Lord's help. But I want to begin by laying a foundation. And we've got to start in chapter 5 to do that. And I want to just read Revelation 5 verses 7 down to verse 10. And just a little hint, you might want to, if you've got one of those ribbons in your Bible, we'll be mostly in Revelation, but we're also going to be looking at Matthew 24. So if you can just find Matthew 24 and tuck a ribbon in there, because we will be flipping back and forward, because I want you to see that John's teaching in the book of Revelation perfectly harmonizes with the teaching of the Lord Jesus given in Matthew 24. They go together, hand in hand, and we'll see that as we go together. Well, Revelation 5, beginning in verse 7, it says, "And he came and took the book," or more literally the scroll, "out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." And then chapter 6, please, and we want to just read the first 8 verses, but with the Lord's help, we want to consider the whole chapter. So it begins in verse 1, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Again, we believe that God will add a blessing to the public reading of his precious word to us this afternoon. Revelation 5 is a wonderful scene, isn't it? And it's a scene about this one sitting on the throne, and in his right hand is a scroll. And on the scroll, there are seven wax seals. And the scroll is being offered. And really, there's a search made for somebody who would be worthy to come up to the one who sits on the throne and to take from his hand this document. Now, what is that document? What is on offer? Obviously, something's on offer. And obviously, the person that takes it's got to be worthy of it. I want to suggest to you that what is being offered is none other than the title deeds to planet Earth. If Dave said that Israel is God's land, well, the Bible also says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, right? It all belongs to him because he made it, and therefore he's the owner of it. And he did at one time put it into the hands of man. Adam was given dominion over the earth. He had the title deeds. He was the one who was to live on this piece of real estate and manage it for God and look after it. But Adam turned out not to be very worthy of that task. He failed miserably, didn't he? Adam and the sons of Adam couldn't even govern themselves, never mind govern the world. It was a disaster, wasn't it? And yet still, God wants to commit the management of his world and the governance of his world into the hands of somebody if he could just find someone worthy of it. And so the search is made, and then one comes. And it's described, this person is described as a lamb as it had been freshly slain. We know who that is. That's the Lord Jesus. And he walks up to the one that sits on the throne, past the four living creatures. Now, these living creatures, their whole purpose has been to guard the presence of God. And amazingly, this one walks right past them, unmolested, unhindered, and he takes this document. And now, he has the title deeds. And it's very interesting that those that are around the throne, they begin to sing. And they sing this song about his worthiness and that he was slain and that he'd redeemed them to God. And then they say something really quite interesting in verse 10. They say, and has made us, this lamb, has made us unto our God kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth. I believe that we, if we're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, shall reign on the earth. We will reign with him. And the Bible says that, doesn't it? But our reigning with him will not happen until he takes the title deed. Psalm 2 says, ask of me, and I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. But right now, the Lord hasn't asked yet. But he will. There's a day coming when he will go up and take out of the hand of the one who sits on the throne the title deeds. And it will be his. Now, there's a slight sticky problem. And it is a big problem, really, because you can just imagine if you had been left some real estate right in the heart of Washington, D.C. Quite a big acreage. Now, how much would that be worth? More than my few acres in Georgia, I can tell you that. It'd be worth a lot of money, wouldn't it? And so if some distant relative passed away and the solicitor calls you or the lawyer calls you, you go to him and he says, it's yours, here's the title deed. And so you're all excited, you think this is wonderful. And so you get in your car and you drive to look at this piece of real estate that's yours. And when you get there, to your disappointment, you find that there are squatters there who have been, you know what a squatter is, right? Somebody living there that has no right to be there, but you know, in our funny kind of world, if they've been there long enough, they feel like they've got some kind of right. And so these squatters are there, and they're saying, you can't have this place. We've been living here for 25 years. So you've got the title deed. It's legally yours, but you've got a problem. There are people there that need to be removed before you can move in. You've got to get rid of them. Let me suggest that this is what's going on in the book of Revelation. The Lord Jesus receives the title deeds to this earth. But there are people on this earth that when the Lord Jesus came the first time, they were unanimous in their decision. And this was their decision. We will not have this man to reign over us. And they're adamant about that. Do you think that anything has changed? When the Lord Jesus receives it, what will the attitude be of the people on the earth when he says, I'm coming to get my real estate? Guess what they're going to say? We will not have this man to reign over us. So before we can reign with him, before he takes up his millennial reign, which he will, first of all, the squatters will have to be removed. And very specifically, the book of Revelation calls the squatters the earth dwellers. That's what he calls them. And all the way through the book of Revelation, we're going to see this term, the earth dwellers, because they think this earth belongs to them. It's their domicile. And we don't want this man to reign over us. And so the tribulation period will be the plan of God the Father to remove from the earth any opposition to his Son and his right to reign. At the end of that 7 years, he will come back, and all resistance will be removed, and all his enemies will be made his footstool, and he shall reign. And the wonderful thing is that we shall reign with him. We will be kings and priests, because that's what kind of people reign, apart from in places like America, where they've got rid of the idea of kings, but it's more biblical than the idea of a democracy and all this. I'm not going to get into that because I can get into trouble when I start talking about that. Could even restart the Revolutionary War all over again, and I don't want to do that. But I want you to see that this is the background to the book of Revelation. It really is. Revelation 4 and 5 is the key to the book. He's been given the title deeds. There's a problem, the squatters. They've got to be removed. Once they're removed, Revelation chapter 20, he will reign. And that's the story. And we can go home. We've got it all now. That's it. That's the key to the book of Revelation. We just need to fill in the small details. And the small details, how that's all going to happen. And what will happen during this 7-year period. Well, as we look at chapter 6, we said we're going to parallel it with Matthew 24, and particularly a verse in Matthew 24, verse 8, where the Lord Jesus says, all these are the beginning of sorrows, the birth pangs. And of course, it's a beautiful picture because the birth pang, when you know the birth pangs are there, you know that baby's coming, don't you? That's the picture. My wife has 5 children and I've been present for the birth of all of them, and we were always waiting for the signal that something was going to happen. And the signal would begin with the birth pangs. There'd be pain, and there'd be sharp pain. But eventually, that sharp pain, the birth pangs, would lead to the day when baby was born. And of course, once baby was born, you'd soon forget all the birth pangs. Especially Dad. I mean, it was easy for me to forget it. More difficult for my wife. But you can forget that, right? Because we've come to what we've been looking for. And this tribulation period really is going to be the birth pangs before the glorious day when the Lord Jesus will come and reign. And so it tells us in verse 1, I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. Now, of course, here's the difficulty. This scroll, these scrolls, how